This is Leo Baybue for KTWH Two Harbors Community Radio. We're in our fun drive, our fall membership fun drive, and I have a neat opportunity today. Eric Kleppinger has been selected as the inaugural artist in residence by the Two Harbors Public Library. Eric is joining us today right here in the KTWH studios for the inaugural appearance as the KTWH Membership Fun Drive Feature Focus Visual Artist.
Wow.
Now, is that an honor?
A huge honor. I'm going to bathe in this tonight.
I didn't want to be irreverent because I really do think it's a neat honor, real good recognition of your role as an artist in our community that you are the inaugural artist in residence at the library.
It's a huge honor.
Yeah.
Yep, it really is.
Could you tell us something about how the Two Harbors Public Library, you're not on the Board of Trustees, I'm assuming.
No.
I'm wondering how the position came about, you know, their process, what they had in mind, what you'll be asked to do as the resident artist. I assume that you've been given some ideas, some direction so far by their director or the library trustees.
Well, actually, part of the application process was to submit basically a proposal of what the program would be. So actually, what we're doing is it was my creation. Their application had kind of an outline. They had some minimum requirements, like for instance, as I recall, they called them workshops, where I would call them a class, you know. But so they were using some vernacular that wasn't necessarily artsy.
Right. But it was very librarian relevant.
So I had to do some internal translating of, I wonder if they mean this.
You got out your librarian's glossary.
Exactly.
Terms, yeah.
So I had to make a few assumptions based on the application. But yeah, they had a minimum requirement of what they wanted each applicant to provide for their programming design, basically. So for me, again, I took workshop as class. I think they wanted open studio time. I think they did say open studio time, which is in my world. And then they also wanted something called a take and make. And I had all I thought of was those Betty Crocker take and bake ovens, you know?
Yep.
And it's really just it's something where it's a little art project that people can come in, take it with them, and they do it at home. And we may never see the results of it. But there might be in some instructions.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of cool. That's
take
cool
and make.
Take
yes,
and make.
Like pizzas are vendors, you get a pizza to take home and bake.
With the dough. Well, yes. In this case, you'd be making the dough.
You'd be making the dough and putting the fillings
exactly.
And the sauce and the cheese
exactly.
on it. Okay.
We're not doing that, though. This is all art related.
Yeah.
I wouldn't eat it. That'd be a bad idea.
But it's outside the realm of possibility that you'd someday
correct.
Have an edible art project.
If I was a culinary artist, take and bake pizza. Yeah, make your own pizza would be perfect, but that's not what we're doing. So
I'm not totally sure I yet get all of the realms in which you're going to operate, because some things are going to originate with a person getting some materials from you and leaving the library.
Yep.
Will other materials and working with art media happen at the library?
Correct.
And is there currently really a space for that to happen?
There is.
Library?
So because I'm involved with the Art Center, Voyager Artists in the Art Center,
yeah.
we have a lovely space, obviously, where I teach
right.
classes already. But the library also has a very nice big room, work room, where they have their meetings, they have presentations.
Okay.
And that is where we're going to be having classes as well.
So that's the meeting room.
Yep,
and
the meeting room. You know all about the meeting
room. So you're going to have dibs on it. So when I go to reserve it for a meeting for the radio
you won't be
station,
able to. It's all about me.
It'll be more important. Art
very
done.
Art's more important than the radio station. I'm sorry to tell you this, Leo. It's really true, though.
Well, you are our token artist of the month that we're trying to bridge the gap between radio
yes.
folks and
that's
artists.
That's right.
I mean, I interviewed you just 6 years ago last week. I mean, 6 years, Eric,
that's amazing.
Since we've had you in here. And you've been doing a lot of stuff in that intervening time.
Yeah, trying to. Yeah, definitely.
Besides getting through COVID,
exactly.
you've been involved with the 2020 Art Tour, probably
yep.
as a studio host every year.
Every year, yep. With Burdock Ceramics. Yep, it's been great.
Yeah. You told me that you essentially came up with the concepts for the areas of focus that you're going to be doing at the library. How soon do you get started? Maybe you have already. And how are folks going to be able to keep abreast of the things that you're coming up with to do? Is it
yes.
just through, I hate to say it, social media? Because
that'll be
we
one
at the
avenue.
Radio would like to help.
Of course.
Get the word out.
Thank you for that. So Madeline, who is the director of the library, we've really just started this artist in residency program. It started September 1st. So right now we're kind of in a planning phase of getting the logistics down. Our first class will be the 24th of October. So that'll be our inaugural class. Oh. Basically, what I'm doing, what they've approved, what I submitted as my proposal, is I kind of reflected on my own artistic journey ever since I was a kid all the way up through college, how I became an artist. And so I really wanted to kind of do classes that help explore that evolution that I went through to see if that's helpful to other artists. So the initial class is going to be a drawing class, just a life drawing class, where I'll teach shading, life drawing. All the materials for all these are provided, too. There's no cost to the participants at all. It's all provided. It's all part of the grant, but it's all part of this artist-in-residence program.
Well, it does bring up a question. Did the library come upon outside funding to help support the artist-in-residence?
Correct, yep. Okay. It's the regional, I think it's the Regional Arts Council. Am I saying that right?
Arrowhead Regional Arts Council,
I think that's,
ARAC.
I think that's who's funding this. I would ask Madeline to confirm that, but I think that's right. So they're funding me, too. I'm getting paid a amount of money per, well, we're calling quarters. It's really just three payments, but it's $4,500 for the duration of this residency, which is basically 7 months. But then there's also $1,000 that goes towards buying art supplies.
Excellent.
The nice thing, though, is I already have a lot of the supplies myself. So I'm bringing to the table a lot of materials so we don't have to buy them. It's just silly.
Right.
When I first...
You're making this grant go a longer way.
Yep. And they'll have, should have extra money left over even if they want. But when I initially saw this, I thought maybe they wanted to create almost like an art center at the library where they would want supplies. That's not the case. So each artist in residency program is going to be different. It could be a dancer, it could be a musician, a fine artist, a sculptor. Or it could be another artist like me. But the point is they don't necessarily want to create an art center within the library. So the materials that we'll have for these classes and for our programming for the next 7 months, it'll be kind of a one and done is what I'm guessing. So there's no need to like have a stockpile of art supplies. So I'm bringing to the table a lot of the infrastructure to do these classes. And then anything that's perishable, paper, paints, that kind of thing, we'll buy, but I'll be bringing easels and brushes and, paint palettes and drawing boards and pencils, that kind of thing.
And what is interesting is it is a very, very multi-purpose space that you're using in the meeting room.
Yep.
So things have to go away too. You can't really occupy the space. I know artist studios usually look like they're full of ongoing work. And this one is going to have to be a roll it up and wheel it out.
And take it with you, exactly.
Yeah.
So, we'll have these six classes. I think what we're looking at is probably one per month for the classes. And then we'll have open studio time. And I want to dovetail the open, and we may have more. They wanted four. I'm thinking we might actually do one per class so that people might, for instance, come to a class. Then they could come later, like we'll have an open studio time and a class time in the same month, and they'll come back during that open studio time and work on whatever they learned in the first class, if that makes sense. So it'd be like class, open studio related to that for that class, and then keep doing that. And that'll all be at the library.
It does. And I have such boring logistical questions. Will they take their work home with them and bring them back the next time?
That, if they choose to,
okay.
I mean, really, open studio is the idea behind it is it could be that project or they could bring anything they want. The idea of open studio is just it's a collaborative way to kind of get together, share your ideas, work on projects, kind of bounce ideas off of each other. Very little direction. I mean, I'll be there. I can clearly give some direction, but it's more of a time because a lot of people don't have studio time. I'm lucky. I've got a studio.
Right.
But a lot of people don't. So this is a great space and way to do that. And regarding the classes, I'm actually going to be doing two classes per day. In other words, on the 24th, we're going to have a morning class and an afternoon.
Sessions.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. So we'll do, I think we're doing like 10 to 12 and then 1 to 3 or something like that. So there's really going to be technically 12 classes, but there'll only be one class per topic, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So, it occurs to me to ask, you may have people across a wide range of experience in training in art.
Yep.
Are you treating each session as if this could be a mix of everyone?
And I'm used to that.
I have to be ready for everything.
I'm used to that.
Okay.
The classes I've been teaching for now a decade here in the area, it's that way. You're going to have anywhere from total beginners who have never done anything artistic in their life to people who have had maybe some traumatic experiences in school, and they, because of that, they're scared of it and they haven't gone back to it.
I'm raising my hand.
Many of of us, including myself. And then there's people who, you know, are maybe amateurs and want to keep going at it. And there's some that are professionals. They just want to pick up some new ideas or just have a reason to be out and be. So it's really supportive of everybody. So,
and I take it that because you keep doing this, you feel comfortable working with that scope of
very much
abilities
so.
And interests.
Yep. Yep. My goal whenever I'm teaching is to really allow the person to be vulnerable, but in a good way, not where they're going to be teased or made fun of, but they can be being an artist is a vulnerable experience.
Yeah.
You're basically, you know, putting your soul out onto whatever medium you're, whether it's music or dance or in our case, art, two-dimensional art. It's to feel safe in a group to do that and to learn from each other. I give guidance, but I also don't want to overly control it. So it's more of, I spend a lot of time looking at the style that person is developing, and I kind of encourage that, which is really fun. So I really try to foster this idea of just express yourself. I can show you how to use a paintbrush or paints or pencils or whatever, but just get used to the tool and then just have some fun with it. Loosen up and see what happens. And it's amazing how people fall into a certain style. I'm really into abstract. I'm really into realism. I'm really into, you know, impressionism, whatever the school of art they're
so emulating. So people wind up making discoveries about
exactly.
their own creativity that they didn't even know themselves.
Exactly.
Because I could see maybe my mastery of stick figures could lead me to becoming a cartoonist, Eric, and I'm wondering how you would roll with that.
Why not? Let's get you in the studio right away. That's exactly right, though. Exactly.
So we're speaking today with Eric Kleppinger, who's the inaugural artist in residence at the Two Harbors Public Library. Eric's describing the classes, as he puts them, as opposed to workshops that the library thought they might be, that are going to be going on now through, I think you're going through your residency through May.
Correct.
Of 2026.
Yeah. Yep.
Fantastic.
So the aspects are these programs or classes. So I have classes, the open studio, these take and make programs. So there'll be two of those. I already have those kind of outlined what we're going to do. And then I also required to do a commission piece, basically, that will be part of the library's collection. So
you're not required to do this commission piece in public with people gathered around you staring at you.
I'm okay with that. Whatever. But no, that's not required. So.
Eric, this new job has to fit in with your already remarkably busy artistic schedule.
Yep.
I mean, you work in a variety of media. I looked you up, pen and ink, pastel, acrylic. I saw that you did a mural last year and more.
So there was a grant in Two Harbors where artists could apply, and I got accepted. And what I did was I think I did 6 or 7 what I called micro murals for those different businesses.
Yes.
And
along
sadly,
First Avenue.
Exactly. Now, this is, maybe I'm a curse because every one of them have gone under. What is the deal with that, Leo? Seriously.
If I was Madeline at the library, I might be a little nervous.
A little concerned. No, but, and then that did lead to me then doing some more mural-y kind of work.
Oh, my. I'm going to rewind a question I meant to ask you. We'll do it again. Eric, you have an already quite busy artistic schedule. I know that you were skeptical about me saying murals, and can you remind us why?
I haven't done anything large. Like, for instance, Sam Zimmerman and Adam Swanson just completed a big mural up in Grammaray.
Right.
That's a mural. I mean, we're talking, I don't even know how long the wall was, 80-foot long wall. I'm not opposed to doing a mural, but I haven't done anything of that nature yet. The largest thing I've done locally is the Bigfoot that's part of Fuzzley's gift shop right by across from the post office, which is just a massive black, you know, Bigfoot. So I would hardly call it the same scale or level.
Didn't buy nearly as many gallons of paint.
No, I still have that paint, by the way.
So you're open for another mural idea. So
if it's black, if it stays black or white, I could add some white to the black.
Monochromatic
murals. That's what I'm gonna, monochromatic murals for Eric.
Monochromatic Murals Are Us is the name of your new LLC.
Perfect. Yeah. I'm going to get on it tomorrow.
Okay.
I'm going to get that going.
Well, I know along with all of those forms of art that you're now president of the Voyager Artists in Two Harbors. You just recently participated for your 7th or 8th time in the Lake Superior.
Yeah, I think our 7th year.
Art tour. And so that brings people for a whole weekend, a very immersive marathon of 3 days your studio in Stony Point. So it strikes me that maybe is your goal to be saturated in viewing, talking about, and making of art from dawn to dusk, Eric?
Which is already happening, Leo. It literally, I have to say, this is my life. I love it. I spend a lot of time in my studio. I spend a lot of time teaching and helping others. I really have a passion for this, whether it's teaching, doing my own art commissions, being part of these different programs, whatever it is, I just really have a passion for it. And I feel honored to be accepted by this community to do that. You know, there's a level of trust that occurs between me and someone who's willing to listen to me or even learn from me, you know, and I learn from them. It's amazing synergy. So it's wonderful.
And as I recall, you've been doing such teaching, even in very small groups at coffee shops,
yep,
for
Mocha
instance,
Mousse.
At the Mocha Mousse,
yep,
since, yep, gosh, before the pandemic.
Exactly. Well, before, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much from 2015 until now, I've been teaching in the area in some capacity. During COVID, I did teach even through Duluth Art Institute. I was teaching middle schoolers, and that was challenging. We were doing Zoom classes, if you can imagine. So here you got middle schoolers, video conferencing, and art. Doesn't go well together. You know, it's like herding cats with a silly string. It just doesn't work. So, but we did it. And, you know, it gave.
Nonetheless,
parents,
you did it.
We did it.
I wouldn't recommend it to do
I
it.
I will never
home,
do it again. But it was something.
Been there, done that.
Don't want to do it again.
So this residency at the library is really.
It's live.
It's such a more opportunistic thing for everybody to have a good experience.
And that's really the point, is that it's not just specific to a certain age group or certain dynamic. It's anybody in the area is welcome to come. And so that's the piece that's inaugural, really. We don't know how this is going to be received by the public.
Right.
Is these are free classes. These are going to basically, we're giving you the materials. All you have to do is show up. So is it going to be a big hit? Is it going to be so many people that we don't have enough room? We just have no idea what to experience or what to expect. And, you know, even my current students through the Art Center, through Voyager Artists, they are insanely loyal, amazing people. I teach every other weekend, and I have a huge group of people that come every other weekend, a massive group. They would love to take these classes. So I have to be sensitive to the community to make sure, hey, let's make sure it's approachable by everybody, not just.
So remind us again, Eric, your first class will be at the end of this month.
Yeah, I believe the 24th.
Is this a pre-registered situation?
Yes, I think. Honestly, that's the logistics thing that the library is working on.
Because otherwise, what happens if 40 people show up?
Exactly. And that's partly why I'm doing two classes. So the space can handle about 12 people. So I'm thinking 24 would be the most we could have in one day. Right. Now, if it's that popular, we could spill it over at the Art Center. I've talked to Madeline a bit about that and the board. We could have classes on Saturday. I think the 24th is a Friday. And that's the other issue, too, is debating about what time of the day, which day. We chose Friday because that's when schools are out. And so we feel like it might be more accessible by parents and kids if we do it on a Friday. I wanted to do it on a weekend, but they're not open on the weekend. So that's where we could.
Library funding is an issue, too.
Yes,
That comes into play.
That's exactly right.
Hours are limited because
staff is limited.
Resources are limited, and it isn't getting better.
Nope, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So we're working with their infrastructure, and we'll just see how it goes. This is a trial and error thing. So as far as advertising this, I'm guessing we'll use social media. I'm sure they'll have signs and posters up at the library.
Right.
The radio station has been fabulous in supporting this, too.
Yeah.
Thank you, Leo. And we'll probably do other press releases as well and get the word out, you know. So
absolutely. Yeah.
And we'll get a tight schedule. That's what we're working on right now, is kind of developing a schedule where, okay, this is the pattern.
Right.
This is when the open studio is. This is when the class is. And just keep that going so that people can predict it.
Somewhat predictable.
And I already know what we're doing. That's done. As far as what we're doing, done. You know, because that was part of my application.
Yeah, you'd like this to be so captivating that people build their lives around it. They make sure they don't schedule day of the week that the classes are.
Yeah.
I had all kinds of weird and wacky softball questions for you, Eric, about, you know, your background in graphic arts and the difference in the fine arts world. I had questions about your feelings on AI bots creating new Monets and Van Goghs. I think I got an earful there.
Yes.
So instead of getting controversial, I wanted to know if there's anything you would like me to ask you as we wrap up, anything that you would love folks to know about why they should be trying their hands at art and making art.
I believe that every person is a creator. And it doesn't have to be fine art. It could be music. It could be dance. It could be woodworking, culinary arts, you know, cooking, radio. To me, everything is an art. And I think that we limit ourselves so much because of how we were programmed as kids. It starts there. Our parents, our siblings, friends, schools, unfortunately, often hold us back. They put us in a box and they said, this is the way you are. And then we believe that that's what we are. So my journey is, because I did this for myself as well, is to really give opportunities for people to explore, in my case, fine art, specifically two-dimensional art, using those mediums that you mentioned, to really just express yourself, have fun, see if this resonates with you. If it doesn't, go on to something else. But to be brave enough and be willing to be vulnerable enough to basically get out there and just try it. You know, it's a safe environment. Everybody supports each other. There's no hostility. I don't like the word critique. I hate it. You know, in the art world, that's a big one. Oh, we have some critics, or we have critiques, or we sit around and we judge each other's art. No.
It happens very much the same way with the written word. Right?
Yes.
Get a bunch of writers together.
Exactly.
Let's critique each other's
work.
I
don't like the word.
Jeez, why don't you put a stake in my heart?
Exactly. You have to have a lot of kahunas, really, to be able to handle a critique. And as it is, so many people are already feeling so vulnerable and insecure.
Yeah.
The last thing they need is a critique. So, you know, maybe if you want to take it to that level, go somewhere else. There's a lot of people that are happy to critique your work. For me, it's more of guidance.
Judgment is everywhere.
Oh, we all are judges, aren't we? We all like to be judges. So I'd prefer to kind of help people along in things that they can improve within their scope of what they're wanting to do. And kind of be gentle about it. There's no reason to critique each other. You know, it's such a negative. There's such a negative connotation around the word. So I don't like it. And I won't use it within what I do ever. So,
well, I think people have an idea of what they'll be encountering by working with you, Eric. That's great. I would like to have, in this wonderfully visual medium of radio, I would like to have more art on the radio. Even if you can't see it, we can talk about it.
We won't
critique it, but we'll describe it.
Exactly. Well, we were critiquing AI earlier.
We were.
Off the radio.
We were. Maybe that'll be in the follow-up, because sometime during your residency, I'd like to have you back to get your take on how it's going.
I would love that.
And make an appeal to people if their classes aren't all full.
You bet.
Give you another chance to appeal.
That would
people.
Be fabulous. That
That'd be great. Thanks a lot, Eric. I appreciate it so much for you joining us today on KTWH.
Thank you for having us, definitely, or having me. Us as a collective, because it's really the library's program, you know, and I'm just a representative of what they're starting, which
well,
is great.
Kudos to the thought processes going on there, because this is a new outreach of the community that we didn't know we needed till we heard about
it's
and
wonderful.
Then we know we need it.
And I'm honored to be the inaugural artist for this. I really am.
Fantastic. So. That's Eric Kleppinger. I'm Leo Babeu. This is KTWH, Two Harbors Community Radio at 99.5 FM, ktwh.org online.